Much has come about through a misinterpretation of one of the most important phrases in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever he believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And by taking that statement to apply to Jesus and not seeing the universal nature of it, we have taken billions of people and not advised them that this statement is about them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Christ, as your identity. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father. God is the father of Christ, and if God is your father, who are you? And so the only begotten, meaning Christ, which is the I which goeth unto the Father, is your name. And it isn't something to attain. It isn't something to work to become. It is the acceptance that I, being the Christ, the only begotten of the Father, and God being my Father, for I have no father upon the earth, I can no longer identify as the mortal being I identified as before. So the secret of secrets is that I cannot live in a human body without saying to these statements, they do not apply to me. I cannot agree and accept to call no man my father upon the earth, for only God is my father. I'll stay in a human body. And the world has done that and suffered from it. Now we see that from the far ends of the earth, Spirit has prepared the chain of command leading right to you. And so Spirit says, I stand at the door and knock. From the beginning of the world to this moment, I stand at the door and knock. Get out of that body. Open the consciousness. Accept I. For I am the way you've been seeking. I am the way to the rebirth, from generation to regeneration. And that regeneration is through I, in the midst of you, which am mighty. Oh, how beautiful the Bible becomes when we know who we are. And we discover every word of the Spirit is the word of my own being, ever held before the false human consciousness that was rejecting it. Somewhere in Proverbs, we're given the clue to this regeneration. It's in the 27th Proverb, line 13. I wonder how I keep doing this, but that isn't it at all. It's the line about waiting on the Lord, and I can't give you the verse at the moment. Waiting on the Lord. And this is the Son, which you are, waiting upon the Father. And this is the regeneration. As you accept being that life which is not in body, as you accept being the spiritual son, not limited to form, time, space, lack, bad health, bad digestive system, bad this and bad that. None of this is you. As you accept this, you're accepting that spiritual sonship which is waiting on the Lord and which is fed by the infinite. You find yourself to be self-fulfilling. You find grace is no longer something you read about. It's your daily experience. It's self-fulfilling self. And you discover that I am the way to grace, fulfilling itself in you. In Hebrews, and this time I hope I have the right one, we have our friend Paul anticipating our hesitations, where we begin to say, well, tomorrow we'll get into that. And Paul tells us, no, let's get into it today. It may sound like a very strange step, but in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul begins to tell us, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the end of karma, you see. Breaking the law of karma. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no longer. There's no karma in the spirit. It's only when you're living in the sense of physical self. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. And that's what we've been talking about today, the new, the living way. Which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So we have the flesh of the Christ, which is not the flesh of the mortal body. We have the spiritual flesh of Christ, and that has ever been the reality of our being right where we stand. Out of the body, listening to the inner self, we watch the concepts change and we can behold what we have been before the world was and what we are now. I, too pure to behold iniquity, will reveal to you the nature of your own being. This is the transition in consciousness, the renewing of the mind, which is the transforming agent for the transfiguration. Now, it's not immodest then to be immortal. It's simply living in the truth that God is your Father, and God is not the father of any mortal being. We have no dying deity. We have no dying Christ. We have no aging Christ. We have no sinning Christ. We have no unhealthy Christ. We have no lacking or limited Christ. All of these problems are the denial of identity. And you know how subtly you deny identity. I have a problem. Well, does spirit have a problem? No, but I have. And therefore you're saying, I am not spirit. But spirit is the Son of God. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Spirit is your father. Spirit is your substance. Spirit has no problem. And therefore you don't have to get rid of a problem. You haven't got one. That which you have called your body has one. And as long as you're in that body, you have a problem, or 10. But you have no problem. Why don't you live in the you that you are and discover you have no problem? And while you're making the transition of living in this you that you are, you can face the problem and realize the problem exists only in the sense of body, which is not you. I am not in the body. At the Palace of Fine Arts, there is an exhibit, and it's called the Exploratorium. Now, in this exhibit, it has the title Dedicated to Awareness. And if you go in on the right side, make that circle, halfway around the circle on the right side, to the extreme right of it, there'll be a little door with a sign, Exploratorium. And it's open every day from 1 to 5, except Monday and Tuesday. Now, these exhibits are all, strangely enough, dedicated to the illusion of the senses. And one of the exhibits is the bust of a figure about 8 inches tall, 6 inches, something like that. It seems to be copper-toned. You see the perfect bust of this man, maybe a Flemish or that period. And there's a sign that says, touch me. Well, you reach to touch this metal bust, and to your surprise, it's just air. You can't touch it. It's only an image. And then you figure out, well, how did this happen? And you reach inside, and you find that there's a mirror inside, a convex mirror, a very large one. And all of this is enclosed in a box, and all you see is this perfect three-dimensional image, which you're sure is there, but it isn't. It's just blank air. And so up somewhere or down somewhere, there is another bust, which is shining into the mirror, and the mirror is catapulting an image out here. But there's probably another mirror, and that mirror shines into the mirror and creates the illusion of a mirror. And you don't see any of this because all of it's in the darkness. The illusion of mirror creates the illusion of the figure. Well, this is all very primitive. The human sense of life, the cosmic mind, does it in a more subtle way. But the result is the same, with one exception. Here, we not only have the image, but here in this human life, we have the living senses with it. Now, if you were an image like that image, but also had the sense of touch, you'd never know the difference. You'd consider the physical image very real because you could touch it. And you see, this being such a primitive reproduction of the illusion of the senses, it's only when we put together a few more sense illusions with it that we build the perfect illusion called the human form, which has no birth in God. It might pay some of you to get over there and look at some of the other exhibits. There are optical illusions and sense of smell, olfactory illusions, and some others that I don't recall. And then there are some movies about the laser light. It's from 1 to 5, Wednesdays through Sunday. And if you do nothing else, when you go in, enter, go to the left and across the wall, to the left and over to the right wall after you go to the left, and see this little bust and reach in to touch it, and then go to some of the exhibits right next to it to find out just why the illusions appear so real to you. And you'll be on to some of the tricks of the cosmic mind. While we're on the subject of details like this, Joel's new book, The Mystical Eye, is coming out. It'll be out about the 18th of May. If you're near a library, go get it there. If you want us to order it for you, Just leave your check and your name, and along about May 18th, we'll have it if it comes out on schedule. It'll be $4.85 plus tax and plus 25 cents for mailing and all of that. Let's say $5.25 probably is the price of the book with the tax, and add 25 cents for mailing. But remember, all the metaphysical libraries will have it, no doubt. For those of you who find it inconvenient, who are not near one, just tell us you want it and we'll order it for you. Next week, by the way, the study will be the next chapter in Contemplative Life, and that is about the pre-Easter week, preparing for Easter, chapter 4. But you are preparing for Easter in a different way than even reading a book, because we're now at a place where we're going to find that we're not too interested in books. They'll be nice to stimulate us. They'll be nice to give us a little start down the hill or up the hill or something like that. But ultimately, the only book we want is the book of life. That inner book which must become unsealed as we live in the truth of I. And that mystical I of Joel's new book will contain several of his last talks in London, just before the transition. I can't tell you any more. I haven't read it. When you begin to enjoy your new weapon for living the life eternal, the conscious awareness that I am not entombed in anything that will die, that I am free spirit, I'm everywhere, I'm in every century right now. There's no place where my spirit is not. Then you're living your life eternal. And even though it's only a preliminary to the real experience, it is the prenatal to this eternal life. It is the new womb for the new man. And make no mistake about it, you must enter that new womb to be reborn. And so, Paul tells us, it is a new living way. It is a way provided by the Father. It is the way of being reborn to the Spirit, of the Spirit, and by the Spirit, in the Spirit, until Spirit, Christ consciousness, life eternal, substance of God, is the only substance you recognize as a living substance. Can there be a problem in the substance of God? If you have such a problem, you are not that substance in your consciousness, are you? And I have discovered, to my satisfaction, that as long as I am willing to accept myself to be that substance and have the patience, I can look at that problem and say, you are not in my substance. And that which is not in my substance cannot continue to persecute me. It needs a mind that accepts it to work in. It needs a human mind, a human consciousness. And because the substance of God is the only substance there is, every physical disability on this earth is nothing more than the bust of a man that you can reach out to touch, and you'll find it isn't there when you are in the consciousness of substance. The cosmic illusion is unveiled. You don't have to get rid of it. That isn't the problem. Your only problem is to accept the substance that you are and stand in it in your consciousness, rejecting any other self. And then you'll find that there are no conditions in a substance called God. There's no poor today and wealthy tomorrow. There's no 104 degree temperature today and normal tomorrow. There's no changing condition in the substance. And therefore, the changing condition is telling you, you are wavering, you're not living in the substance. You're not accepting the substance. And truly, that's all you need do, is accept the substance as the only, the one, the infinite substance. And that is where your body is. That is your body. And it is governed by the law of that substance, which is the perfect law of spirit. It is under the principle of perfection. And because that substance is all, the principle of perfection is all that is here. The imperfection is the belief that you are another substance. Don't you see then what separation means? The belief that you are another substance is separation from God. And two powers means that you do not believe you are the one substance. And so you have powers of God in the one substance that are perfect, but imperfect powers in the other substance which you accept to be there. And it isn't there. You've got false powers that only exist because you accept another substance that isn't there. You can live in the realization that the one substance of God is the only substance that covers this earth. The substance of God is the earth and the fullness thereof. And all that denies it is a cosmic mind seeking entrance. And if you permit that cosmic mind to enter, you are denying identity. You can even get to look at that cosmic mind and say, you have no existence. Nothing you can say or do or make me feel is true, because the one substance of God is all that is here. And the name of that substance is I. It existed before Adam and Eve. It has always existed. It is invisible. It is present. It is God. It is now. It is forever. And as I dwell there, all the shadows are removed. The shadows of thought, the shadows of memories, the shadows of experience and sensation. The shadows that never were more than my concepts as I lived out of my true substance, in a separate substance, with separate powers in the world of dreams. Come back. Do not be two. Do not be another self than I am. One, I am the Father, one. And I accept divine substance, which is incorporeal. And we'll come way back to Lao Tzu. Now, there's no rhinoceros to put a horn in divine substance. We'll build our little community of I am, the divine substance, the essence, which was the very essence of being in a scene. And then the detour of 16 centuries caused by the watering down of the great truth into a personalized deity sent to suffer on earth, and all of that nonsense is cast out from the belief of those who are enlightened to know the truth that sets them free. The substance of God is the only substance there ever was, is, and will be. And that is Christianity universal. That is the teaching of the universal Christ, which has ever been on this earth awaiting the recognition of those who wish to live as one with their Father. It has no race, it has no religion, it has no history or geography. It has no divisions. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. For we are the universal spirit. This teaching will bear every test to which you care to put it. And it will reveal to you the truth that your spirit is invincible. To know I aright is to know God aright, for I and the Father are one. And to know I aright, then, is to live now as the substance, to now enjoy your life eternal. By next week, many of you will have found ways. Perhaps some of you will have been instructed by the Spirit in these ways to live with a conscious awareness that that body you see of me is something over which I entertain dominion like I do over my automobile. It is under my control. And the control I exercise over it is not by telling it what to do, but by resting in the knowledge that I am the divine substance, which lives itself through my silence, making me an instrument for that indwelling spirit. And this divine substance of my being, being ever perfect, maintains that body image in perfection with no effort on my part other than obedience to the spontaneous spiritual impulse that never ceases to flow. That is how your dominion is attained, by accepting its presence in the spirit of your being, knowing that perfection is self-perpetuating. Grace needs nobody to turn the key and make it run. It's running now. And you will find little tricks, little techniques, little ways to keep you in that knowledge. So you'll be working at the office, working in the home, doing something, and yet knowing, I, the Infinite Spirit, is my name. And I can always stand aside and watch this body perform what it is ordained to do now, perfectly, without effort, without taking deep thought, without planning, always it being responsive to that inner impulse which I, the infinite spirit, am sending through. Without effort on my part. You are lining up the infinite circle of truth with that little circle of truth which is your momentary consciousness, and the two are functioning as one. You are living in the higher order of yourself, and the lower self, the Egypt, will be guided by Jerusalem while you come out of her. This is a technique you'll have to develop within yourself to make you a doer and not a speaker. But you'll have friends in this work, and there will always be this intercommunion between us in which we nudge each other along the way with little ideas that have come. Or we move certain obstacles out of the way. But it is your experience. And it is just that livingness of it which brings to you those of your own household, those necessary to your experience and to whom your experience is necessary, and builds for you your own individual Essene community. As you are living the way, you will find those who must live that way will find their way to your door. I in the midst of you am the way, and no one cometh to the Father except through me. Enjoy it, because it is the most exciting thing you will ever know. As it unfolds and unfolds into new mansions continuously. First thing in the morning, as often as you can remember during the day, and watch how without any effort on your part beside that, it does the work. It performeth. That is the miracle of I. Perhaps our Easter will be the experience of Easter before it arrives. Certainly we can come next week with that in mind, that I have been living not in the body, and I to some degree understand the meaning of the rising Christ. I don't really want to say goodbye, because I'd like to just dwell here and enjoy the warmth and love of spirit. It has its own message, its peace. All the friction of the world goes away, and that great peace descends. No human mind can ever invent such peace. Blessings and thank you.
Amen.